playback and action.
And the actors are acting in front of you. It's as if they're acting only for you.
I don't restrict their performance.
You can never tell from an actor, from a leading actor, what he's going
to
do.
Act yourself, figure out how to rehearse.
You just have to do it.
Try to not over-talk it or overthink it. Leave some mystery to happen.
Because I was an actor myself, I know what they're going for.
Okay, me and my co-host Bucky, we're going to talk about physical tasks today. And physical tasks is an activity you can get your actors to do if they're getting caught up in the lines, if they're, you know, like it's becoming a bit too stagnant and stale. Physical tasks is one of those tools that you can use to get your actor to be a lot more natural in the space. So Meisner, he's a classic acting teacher who actually implemented physical tasks in his acting scenes. There'd be one actor on stage and they'd have to do an activity, reading, cooking, playing music, and then another actor would walk into the scene and then a scene would take place. So if you ever know an actor that does Meisner training, they'll be very familiar with physical tasks.
Yeah, physical tasks are very important. And they're going to be the best tool for you as a director. If you don't know how to speak to an actor to spark their imagination, to spark their inner resources or inner motivations, the best way to get across to your actor in a scene is to get them to do something. We keep battering this idea of getting actors to do rather than to intellectualize. And one of the best ways to do it is by getting them to do a physical activity, a physical tasks that is related either directly to their character, directly to the scene or the circumstance, the place, or the emotional event, to what's going on. Because activities, they tend to give the scene a very fresh perspective and they tend to ground. This word ground is a little bit overused and it sounds a little bit, what's the word?
Woo-woo.
Yeah, woo-woo. But it's, when you see it, when you see certain actors from big productions to small productions that are not grounded in a place that they're in. Let's say they're in a coffee shop or in a restaurant or whatever it is, and they're just sitting there without, you know, being actively engaged in the scenery, being actively engaged with the props or with the stage business, as most people like to call it. It makes it feel very fake and very staged, so to speak. So physical tasks are very good in order to quickly solve a problem and give good adjustments to the actors in order to be able to express their character or play the scene a certain way.
So with a physical task, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, physical tasks, I get it. You just get them to read a book, read a magazine, or you get them to water a plant or whatever. Or you get them, no, let's just talk about like reading, for example, because reading is like a big one. If you know what I mean, because sometimes you're going to think, oh, this is the actor's job to come up with a physical task. You know, what would your character do? What would your character would do in this scene? And most actors are going to pick up a book and they're going to read. And that's like, it's such a boring choice. It doesn't say anything. It's not that active. There's a whole thing with reading. First off, with reading, most actors are not going to read. Like, they're going to be holding a book and they're going to be pretending to read the article or whatever they're reading, the book or whatever, and they're not actually reading. So if you're feeling like their reading is coming off fake or not realistic, ask them, what did they just read?
Yeah.
Tell them to summarize what they just read. And if they can't answer it, then they weren't reading, and you say, actually read the book, actually read the magazine, actually read the newspaper, actually tell me what's going on. Not only that, if you want to go one step further, you can say, why are you reading this book? What's the reason? Why are you reading that newspaper article? let's say it's you're setting this film in during a lockdown, a pandemic. Why are you reading the newspaper? Because you want to know the rules. What's happening in lockdown?
What is the book? Sorry to interrupt you. What is the book that they're reading?
Yeah,
basically. So this is another good point Dean brings up in terms of, we spoke about this before, but in terms of choosing a physical task, I think it has to be not only just written in the script. Usually when it is written in the script, it tends to be given for the reader to be able to visualize and kind of set the scene, but it's usually a very thin veiled idea of what these characters would be doing. For you to be able to delve deeper, I think it's very important to be able to talk with your actors to say, what could your character be doing? And if they come up with something that's relevant to their character, then you can actually dig deeper to go, hey, if they say, like Dean said, reading a book, right? Then you ask them, why would they be reading a book? That's their choice as an actor. That's their job, right? But it has to make sense and it has to make relevance to the scene. If they're just reading a book to have stage business, to make it look like it's natural, make it look like they're doing something, you know, to make themselves more realistic, it will still come off as it might come off as very distracting and irrelevant to the scene. Because let's say they're reading, but what they're reading is important to the character. Now that actually makes it more relevant and more specific to that story, right? If they're just picking up a newspaper, and this is common in most films and shows and whatever, where you have, you know, the family, they come in the morning and they have breakfast and you see the man of the house who picks up the newspaper and he's reading it and, you know, they're having lovely discussion with their kids or whatever it is. You know, you can give them that as business, but then what is it about them reading that paper that makes it relevant for their character, right? And yeah, you can work with your actors to decide that, because let's say he's a stockbroker or is a guy that works on the Wall Street and he's looking at the Wall Street Journal. Now, if he's reading specifically to his character's interest, to his stakes that he has in the Wall Street Journal, to say, hey, everything's crashing, I'm interested in this, then that becomes more of a connection to what it is. That also brings me to another point. Physical tasks. Sometimes when you're looking at actors, you have to be aware. If you're not spotting it and it looks fake, it could be also the result of their degree of difficulty or concentration on that physical task, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the elements that you have to look at, right? So when we're looking at, let's give an example of an activity based on the circumstances of a character putting on his shoes and tying his shoelaces to go outside, right? So the activity is putting on his coat and putting on his shoes, tying his shoes, okay? That's the activity. Tie your shoes. We're going to get the shot of you tying your shoes. If you start to build a quote-unquote backstory where you're making that physical task more than what is intended to be than just a person tying their shoes, like the relevant difficulty is just on the basis of what's there, tying the shoelaces, right? Mm. If you make it even more complicated than what it is, then byproduct of it is it's going to look fake. It's going to look like the character is concentrating too hard on what is a simple task that needs to be accomplished. But if the character, let's say, is a person that's wheelchair bound, that has no access to their hands, then that changes the circumstance a little bit more based on who the character is. And this is partly what you can work with your actors to create that degree of importance. And that degree of importance is based on the circumstance of the story, right? And the director watching it should have the ability to see, obviously to spot whether it's too much or too little, and based on what what level of circumstances or adjustments that are given to these actors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going on to that thing of like he's wheelchair bound, like a similar thing to the to what I was going on about the reading. You know, let's say he's, you know, going to plan an assassination and he's, you know, or he's solving, he's a detective, he's solving a case. Do you know what I mean? Sure, detectives, you know, need a read in order to solve cases, but are they like highlighting articles or newspaper articles? Are they tearing it out of the newspaper? Are they doodling because they're bored? Are they like pinning it up on the wall? You know what I mean? Like, what are they doing? Like, there's more things that you can do other than just pick up a book and read.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So depending on the character, depending on how, you know, let's say, for lack of a better way to describe it, like a crazier person or a person that's a little bit out there. And that's what we want to watch movies about, like someone that's a little bit out there than the norm. They're going to be doing something a little bit different, a little bit interesting than reading and picking books, because it's very stagnant and doesn't really do anything. It's just an actor sitting down. They may turn a page or not, but there's nothing to do. Like it's very stagnant, it's very boring, and it's a very obvious choice. Now, look, sometimes, you know, it does make sense because let's say it's a character in jail and there's very little activities you can do in a prison cell. So, you know, and it's very quiet and it's right before lights out, so they are reading a book. Fair enough.
But then let's say they're reading the Bible.
Yeah.
You see, what it is that they're reading is very important. If you tell an actor, oh, yeah, I just want you to read in this scene, like picking up any book. And this is, I guess, partly the job of the actor and the director to come to say, who is this character? Would they pick up, let's say they're in jail, would they pick up an adult magazine or would they pick up a Bible? See, it tells me two different things as an audience member or as a director watching it. It tells me two different things, who yeah. those two characters are. One is a totally different person and the other one is... Mm. You know, a very different person. So
yeah, absolutely. And I do remember. So there's this TV show on HBO called The Night Of, and this Muslim kid is wrongfully jailed, and he goes into jail, and there's a guy that he meets in the jail cell, and he recommends him to read the book Call of the Wild, because that will teach you on how to be a man and how to deal with the social dynamics of people in the jail cell.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a choice there. You know what I mean? Like what's their religious belief? You know, what do they believe in? What, you know, are they like a Nietzsche? Are they reaching Nietzsche philosophy? You know, because they feel like that's going to help them through jail. Or, you know, or are they reading something more hopeful? Are they, you know, what are they doing? Are they reading just like a classic text? Because, you know, like I'm just thinking of that scene from The Shawshank Redemption, you know, and they're like just filing away all the books in the prison library, and he's like, Alexander, dumbass, and then in the other character, Tim Robbins' character, like it's Dumas. I was like, oh, Dumas, and he's like, oh, what's this book? And it's about the Count of Monte Cristo, about a guy that's wrongfully jailed in prison. It's a good book, you should read it. And that's what the movie's about. The movie's about a guy that breaks out of prison and is wrongfully accused of a crime. So you can pick a book that's thematically relevant to what the character is going through. So it doesn't have to be like a specific character choice, but it can relate to the theme and give like a smarter audience member clues of like, oh, this is the theme of the story about a wrongfully accused man in prison.
Yeah, there's now that we're talking about prison films, there's one that came to mind, Un Prophet. And you've seen the film. There's a lot of great nuanced physical moments in that film, and they're very, very simple, and they're very much make the place feel more palpable, right? One of the things that came to mind is, I don't want to spoil the film for people, but There's these characters or this gang in jail, and there's this young kid that's kind of underneath them and he's working for them, and he's making coffee for these gangsters, and he's bringing in food, and he's making these and the way he does it is that physical task is tied into who that character is. It shows you their dynamic, their relationship. Like I said before, you know, it has to be tied in, the physical task, to a character, relationship, or an emotional event. And these two elements of him making coffee is tied into who he is in terms of the relationship to these gangsters. He's making coffee in jail, and he does it a certain way where you know that he's beneath them. You know where he stands in that pecking order. And that's something that you should be aware of, because it gives more dynamic to the storytelling rather than just being physical for the sake of being physical, you know, the stage business for the sake of stage business. The other thing I wanted to include, the second part, to that degree of difficulty, like I said with the shoelaces, the second part to this is the physical task should have a certain standard to aim to. By that, I mean, let's use hypothetically you're getting your character to make a dinner for a family, right? And you say, make a dinner with only the things that are in the fridge, only the things that you have on hand. What is the perfect dinner that you would make as the character? And by and large, we most of us, if we open our fridge right now, wherever you are out there, you open up your fridge and you say to yourself, I'm going to make a dinner with the ingredients that I have in my fridge. You would have to use your imagination to try to make the best dinner that you can for yourself, for your taste buds, for your own appeal, based on the things that you have. That aim, that picture in your head, is the standard of perfection. And that gives you, that ties in your ability to keep you engaged in that physical task. It's like making a cake with having the ingredients on the back and kind of having an end point to aim for. That end point is that standard of perfection, because without that, you know, without having that end point, you don't have the tie-in to do all those things. The other thing is, if you are, let's say, making that cake that you find yourself wanting to make a cake for dinner, you look at in terms of physical tasks, most actors or directors, they'd be like, oh yeah, make a cake, or, you know, put this dinner together. But then when you go, and I've had this experience, I know you've had this experience, Dean, where you go on set, you come halfway through making that cake and you go, well, where's the spatula, or where are the eggs? Half the physical items are not there to carry and make the scene believable, right? And that's part of like working it out. This isn't the director's job fully. It's the understanding of the actor of what they need in order to create that cake, or to try to get that physical task to the end of its point in order to make it believable, right? So if they are making that cake and they don't have eggs that they can work with, then they will stop the scene flat, you know. So that's partly to do with them having the ability to recognize what's needed, your ability to work with the props department and the art department. But most of all, it's understanding that these little props or these little physical items are there to actually help you create the activity to its fullest, to its end, right?
And also there'll be bakers, you know, watching the movie, and they'll be like, where are the eggs? You know, right. I see flour, I see caster sugar, I see all of the ingredients, but, you know, there's no eggs in the scene. Why is there no eggs in the scene?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you will, it's also that as well, that believability of, you know, if your character's a baker, you want to convince bakers that that actor on stage could easily be a baker in real life. You know, like, I mean, that's the goal. Generally, that's the goal for some actors I know, is if they're playing a doctor, they want to convince doctors that if they're watching, they go, oh, I see myself up on screen. Like, that's it, you know, because some people do get taken out of if it's not believable. There's things missing. So
more often than not, they should be tied into having enough personal interest, and this was the actor's ability to have personal interest in order to be able to fulfill them making that cake. If they do need the eggs to create it specifically, the actor, this is the actor's job, but it's your job to recognize it as well. You can't just go, oh yeah, you we don't have egg, just make it with the flour and whatever we have there. And then you look at it, you're like, well, the end product is they're not really making a cake, unless you can do cutaways and cheat it in certain ways. But it helps the actor tie in certain moments to their characters. And by and large, they need to provide that feedback to you. They need to have that freedom to say, hey, no, I need this, that, and the other. If we can't provide it, we're going to have to work around it somehow. But it will truly help me, meaning if they say that, if it truly helps them, it means it's going to help you as a director and the project is going to look a lot better. So either them bringing it in themselves or you giving them these items gives them more tie-in to who they are as a character and their need to create that dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of personal interest, you know, like if your characters are all playing like a poker game, you know, like, again, if you don't make, you know, like, they're going to, like, okay, pretend, like, say that they're playing a poker game and you're like, okay, pretend to play a poker. Now, pretend to play poker. It's always going to look fake. It's always going to look staged. It's going to look terrible. It's going to look terrible. I've seen it millions of times. I've seen it, like, so many characters are, like, you know, because there's certain scenes, The Odd Couple, American Buffalo, they all feature, like, some kind of card game. And generally, they're terrible. But the direction you can do to make it believable is you go, no, actually play the game. Actually play, you know, the board game. Try to actually win. Now, you can go one step further. And let's say you're playing poker. You go, okay, play the game and actually bet money. Have you ever played poker when there's no money on the table? Everyone goes all in the first hand, all in, all in, all in. And it's boring, it's terrible, and it's not a game. It's just a pissing contest. But if you put real money on the table, not 5 cents, not 50 cents, but get the actors to put actual money on the table, like, okay, let's bet 20 bucks, actual 20 bucks. All, you know, but sometimes, you know, if you're working with Hollywood actors, you know, like 20 bucks might mean dick to them. All right. Make it 200 bucks, make it 500 bucks. Whatever you got to do where it's like, shit, I don't want to lose 200 bucks, or I could potentially win 1,000 bucks from this thing. Trust me, they're going to get so focused and they're going to be so involved in the game and so emotionally and like personally interested in this game, and it's going to look dynamite on screen.
Okay, so you bring up a good point. This is the third point that I wanted to bring up. The third point is that physical activity has to have consequences. If you don't have consequences, which is what Dean is saying, like putting money on the table is the loss of the money for them. It might not be that big of a deal, but to some, they need to provide the reason for them losing that money as a consequence to their character, right? So that ties in for their ability to try to complete that task, to try to complete that game. And there's for you out there, some people are listening, they'd be thinking, oh, you know, he's talking about the method and this is, you know, this is bullshit, yada yada. I say there's a great film out there called The Bronx Tale. And there's a great actor out there and director named Chaz Palminteri. And he spoke himself when director Robert De Niro came and because he directed A Bronx Tale. when he directed them, there's a scene where they're playing poker. And guess what they did? When they played that game, guess what they did?
Actually played poker?
Actually played poker. How did they play? Exactly what Dean said. De Niro wanted to put real money, because not only did he want to make the bills look real on the table, but I believe it was like tens of thousands of dollars that was on that table. And some of those actors that were there, and some that weren't actors that were, you know, friends of Chaz and that were hired there, they were really, really into winning that game, because it was thousands of dollars at that time. This was the 90s. There was a lot of money for a struggling actor that, you know, when you watch it, they're really playing poker. So at that level, see, De Niro as a director, he wanted that in there. And you're saying, oh, well, that's the actor's job. They need to make that real. No, that was De Niro's choice. Yes, he comes from an acting background, but he understands the consequences. He understands getting everybody involved in that game and getting everything on a standard where the stakes are high. We call about this. We always talk about this thing as like, you know, the stakes need to be high. It needs to be heightened. Well, when you have $10,000 on the table, you know, and these people are really playing for it, then it makes the scene a lot more interesting. So all you naysayers out there, whether you define it as method or define it as, you know, I work this way, he works that way, you know, everybody works differently. No, that at the basis of it all, they have to have enough interest in what they're doing in that physical task. And it has to make sense to their characters, right?
Hmm.
And I have this other great point, which I heard Willem Dafoe talk about in an interview. He talks about playing an assassin in a recent film he did. And he said, you know, when I spoke to, there was a scene that I was supposed to do with another character coming to my house, and he's another assassin. He's like a colleague of mine, and we're about to have this discussion. And he said, I felt, you know, when I spoke to the director, I felt like, you know, my character, you know, being this older assassin that's been in the game for a while, he's kind of slowing down. You got all these young guys that are taking over, and I feel like he needs to keep up with them. That he'd be the type of character to be on the health kick. He'd be the type of person that'd be like making juices for himself and smoothies and blah, blah, blah. So he suggested the idea of, hey, can we have me making a juice while they're coming in to talk to me? You know, and he justified it to the director, and they worked on it. So he used it as, not as a crutch, but as a justification to his character to help him delve with this scene, right? And it was just something as simple as making a juice for, I believe, him and the other person that comes in. So it has to be very relevant to their character, and it has to make sense. It can't be just doing stage business for the sake of you wanting them to do something, right? It has to be between you, the other actor, and the circumstances. Once again, it's what the script gives you, where they are, and what could be the potential thing that they could be doing.
Yeah.
So, and then there's another example, which Willem Dafoe talks about with the film The Lighthouse. He says, you know, there's a scene where I'm knitting in it. He said, I practice how to knit, you know, for a scene. It was literally a 10-second scene where I'm like knitting. And, you know, he goes, it took me months and months to learn. And we only use the 10-second bit of it, you know. And when you look at it as a director, you go, well, what the hell does knitting have to do with a lighthouse keeper back in whatever it is, 1800s? But based on their talks and the interviews that I've heard, you know, it was known that these lighthouse keepers would keep themselves amused by knitting, you know, by doing these things to make time go by. Do you know what I mean? So it's a part of the character. It's a part of the time period. And it's a part of, you know, that history that makes sense for that character. So when we're looking at it, you want to go beyond what's in the script. You want to go beyond, you know, I'll just get you to make a dinner or make yourself breakfast. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, just put on your coat and leave, or, you know, or, you know, he's cutting his front lawn. How can we go beyond that? How can we go deeper to look at what else can be done with those physical circumstances, right? And we look at it in terms of, let's say we get the character to be doing the activity of cleaning their front garden. So that's the action that we talk about. So character A is cleaning their front garden, right? You tell the actor, all right, I want you to clean your front garden. The actor has to, and this is partly their job, that you can work with them, because if they come up with these suggestions that it makes sense for their characters, you have to take it on board. If they say, if they start generally just cleaning up, like picking up stuff or whatever it is, then you have to know what it entails to clean up the garden that they're given. Do they cut the front lawn? Do they pick up the leaves? Do they clean the gutters? Do they trim the hedges? What else do they do that gives the overall sense or the overall action of cleaning the garden? And you can take part, as a director, you can take parts of it. You can work with the actor, just like the director did with Willem Dafoe, with, you know, the lighthouse, and with I can't remember the film where it's playing the assassin, but the ability to create those physical tasks will either make sense or it won't make sense, but they have to be specific enough, right? And the last thing I wanted to talk to you about is a film we watched, The Witch. Mm. I wanted to talk to you about certain physical tasks in that film. When you look at that film, it has like all the elements of what are tied into the story of this family. And I don't want to spoil the whole film, but if you haven't watched it, turn it off now, watch it, come back to this. If not, I apologize in advance, but in order for me to describe it, I have to describe the situation. So the film begins with this family being pushed out of this small town, of this small village, and they end up trying to find a place where they can live. Now, the director shows this open field where they assumingly find like a sacred space where they can build their house and build their little home. So within the whole film, everything is shown in a way to physicalize their tasks, to show that they're trying to overcome their elements, trying to do their day-to-day tasks, trying to, overcome the ideas, because they do mention the idea of, you know, the crops aren't giving us food, that they do mention circumstantial hunger, right? They're hungry, they're trying to find food, shelter, the basic necessities. And you see that with the physical stuff that they're doing, such as one of the characters is chopping wood, right? At other times, they're going hunting. They're trying to find food. Milking the goats. These things are all tied thematically to what's going on in this world, in this little place in the woods that they're trying to survive in, basically. So it's tied into the overall story, and it's tied into each of the characters and their responsibilities, right?
Yeah.
So the man is chopping wood, and I know some of you might think, oh yeah, that's sexist, whatever. Well, that's what happened in that time. Historically, the women would be taking care of the goats and the house duties, and the men would be chopping wood, going hunting, right, to provide food. And it's still done in some villages today. But each of the characters has their responsibility, and that responsibility is dawned through physical tasks. right?
Yeah.
You don't have to see all of the physical tasks, but you have to know enough of them to be able to provide them in the scenes, right? And those could be things like rituals. Rituals are very, and we're not talking about religious rituals. We're talking about people's rituals. What did they do in the film The Witch? What does each of the characters' daily rituals look like? When the man wakes up in the morning, what is his ritual for the day? Does he get up to plow the field? Does he chop firewood? Does he go hunting? You know, what else does he do? What are all these physical things he does, right? For you to be able to pick and choose which makes most relevance when you're shooting the scene or when you're working with the actor to say, let's do that rather than this. The same goes for the other characters. When the female character wakes up, what does she do? Does she prepare bread in the morning for the family to eat? Because it makes sense. It's a morning ritual. Does she light the fire? Does she go and milk the goats? Does she clean the washing, the dishes? You don't have to do all these things, but it's finding those things which are relevant within the story for it to serve the story.
Absolutely, right? And it's about a witch. So, you know, one of the goats, you know, like instead of milk comes out blood, you know, thematically, like hunting. Like we go out hunting into the woods and it shows, you know, like how the man is a protector and how his place, like how good is he of a man as a hunter, and he's not very good. So it kind of raises the stakes that if there's a conflict with a witch, this man, this alpha male of the family unit isn't going to be able to protect the family if shit goes down.
Yeah. So to sum it up, you want to be making physical tasks relevant to, first of all, the story. Thematically, you want to relate it to each of the characters, which is partly the actors choosing and then working it out with them. The relationship which ties in, which could tie in to the other characters, and the emotional events that partly take within the story.
And the consequences.
Yes. So the consequences are tied in to those actions. So yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah, that's it for me too.
Okay. That was a good chat. Thank you.
See ya.